You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to this evening's action in Killarney. We're on to day two of their July festival. Another mixed card to look forward to, with action on the flat and over fences. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me to look ahead to all eight races on this evening's card is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, buddy.
Are you well, sir?
Oh, very well. Yeah, not bad at all.
Good man. Looking forward to day two in Killarney?
Yes. Yes, I am. The last three races in particular are quite appetising events. I like that 8 o'clock, that Grade C chase. And actually, my sort of best opinion, strongest opinion of the night would be in the last.
Okay,
quite
good
keen on one there.
Good. Well, we'll wait with bated breath until the last to find out what it is. But it's a competitive card, isn't it? Both on the flat and over the fences tonight. There's plenty of runners and plenty of chances.
Yeah, just always keep an eye on the weather at Killarney, because it's close to the lakes and the water, and the hills are in the background, and when it does descend there, it can come down quite rapidly, as I found to my cost yesterday when I walked round Lake Vyrnwy in Wales. It was perfect 10 miles down the road, but never stopped raining as soon as I got close to the destination. And similar that to Killarney, can get pretty awful. Looked a bit bleak there last night. It could easily change, could easily get soft quickly there if they get forecast rain.
Okay, keep an eye on the weather then. Let's get stuck into the racing. The 5:30 is the first race on the card this evening. We'll start here with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Maiden. This one's over a mile and a half of furlong, and Bow Boy is 2-1 at the top of the market. 9-4 for Unyielding. Amirin Lass is 5-2. 13-2 for Lahardi. Boombox is 10s and 11s or bigger for the others. Who do you side with in the open, Randy?
Yeah, this one's quite a difficult one. There's only really three that you'd consider with any degree of confidence here. But all of them have got varied profiles. One of them hasn't run, Unyielding, but obviously he's clearly strongly fancied. And when Jessica Harrington's got a fancied horse first time up, then we need to take note, because Rockview Valley and Oscar Final Frontier both have landed gambles first time off the shelf for Jessica. And it wouldn't take an above-average performer, really, to take this race. I would say it's a toss of the coin who sets the standard between Amari Glass and Boho Boy. Both of them have both finished second on their debuts, respectively, at the Curragh. Boho Boy, early on in the season, on the 29th of March, hasn't been seen out since when chasing under Dermot Well-Train Astraff, keeping on quite well. It was a race at Jacobean, was sent off a short-price favourite and bombed out. Clearly wants a little bit of giving the ground. That's the fact that he hasn't been out since, and perhaps he's just taken a while to recover from that race, or he's had a slight issue. The John Ox filly by Pivotal chased down another Dermot Weld horse called Ishara, who I think he's going to make up into a group performer by the end of the season, so that wasn't a bad return from her. So all in all, quite an intriguing little race here. Because I don't know the strength of that Unyielding, how good that horse might be is anyone's guess. Might well be good enough to take it on debut, but of the ones that have run, I was more impressed with Amagarin Lass's run first time up, and hopefully she can at least give us a decent run in the first.
On to the second then, the 6 o'clock. This one is a race over a mile and a half of furlong for three-year-olds and older, rated 95 or less. Third Dimension and Cradle Mountain are the 4-1 joint favourites this morning. Vitally Important is 13-2 with LaBarb. Modeling Magdalene is 7-1, 8s for Hurricane Cass and 11s or bigger for the others. I thought this was quite tricky, Andy. There's plenty in there with good chances.
Yeah, Cradle Mountain's got to pick himself off the floor after a modest run the other day. It was a combination of softish ground, perhaps, in a very tough race, and a mile and a half, which resulted in him getting beaten 22 lengths. But he's not making that much of appeal to me as a 4-1 favourite here. We've got Third Dimension, who's been waiting for soft ground, so if the rain comes, he'll have a chance, but he hasn't run since April. And then we've got a couple of horses that intrigue me that ran at Bellingstown on their card the other night down on the 3rd of July. One of them is a horse I tipped on the podcast, Le Barbe. The other one's Maudlin Magdalene, who won a very competitive handicap on the same card. Now, tinkering around with their times overall and sectionals as well, it's quite clear to me that Maudlin Magdalene is actually the value of the two, despite the untapped potential and the general unexposed nature of Le Barbe's profile. I actually prefer Donald Kinsella's five-year-old mare based on the numbers that night. I got a much stronger run race in the handicap, and the sectionals that I did on that card suggest that she should really beat Mickey Halford's three-year-old again here, and we can get 7-1, whereas Le Barbe's, you know, a 6-1 shot. I'd have them the other way around here. She's clearly in a really good place at the moment, this five-year-old mare. She goes on a variety of grounds. She's raced on softest ground before to a reasonable degree. I think the better ground, the better her chances by all accounts, but either way, I think she's quite versatile. And she's also won here as well. She won here 2 years ago in the August meeting when she was only rated 75, but she's a much better mare nowadays. But plain and simply, I do think this one still has been underestimated in the market. She keeps running well, keeps winning. So let's stick with an in-form mare. That's usually a good tactic in the shape of Maudlin Magdalene.
On to the third race next. This is the 6:30. It's Division 1 of this particular handicap, over a mile and 3 furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds. And What's the Plot heads the betting at 4-1. 9-2 for Lagos to Vegas. Pat Harkin is 5-1. 11-2 for Best Kept Secret. High Pitch is 10s and 14s or bigger for the others. Not too many of these arrive in good form, Andy, but What's the Plot does improve for the step-up in trip last time and looks as if there's more to come from the favourite.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with all that, Mark, to be honest. And I think he's fairly solid here. If you're just looking for a no-nonsense each-way bet, you can get sort of 4-5-1, generally speaking, this morning for Arthur Moore's three-year-old. And you've got to admire the way he got the job done the other day down in Roscommon. It was a bit of a tough battle for three-year-olds, that one. All of the front two or three left everything out on the track, including this gelding by Alfred Noble, who had to dig deep to fend off No Way Jack, who's quite a tough three-year-old trained by Pat Martin. And in the end, they pulled clear of the rest. We had the in-form pair, Nice Vinces, and Pat Harkin, of course, reopposes here, backing behind. No obvious reason why Pat Harkin would turn the form around, particularly if the ground went soft. Pat Harkin's the other one you probably could consider from an each-way perspective, because he's always been there or thereabouts in many of his races this season, and he's likely to be so again. Lagos to Vegas is the other one to consider. He comes here off the back of two good runs so far this season. Most recently when second down in Tipperary the other day behind Russian Roulette, who was a fairly impressive winner that day. But that form doesn't look too bad, because I quite fancied the third horse that day, the well-handicapped Mr. Bossman, who'd have been in good form over hurdles. So he it wouldn't surprise me if she popped up there and was to upset my each-way selection in the race. What's the Plot?
What's the Plot each-way, friendly then? In the 6:30, the 7 o'clock is the fourth race on the card. This is Division 2 of that three-year-old handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. And Alcock and Brown heads the market at 9-2. 5-1 for Dancing Noretta. Peremptory is 7-1. Liffey View, 8s with Nowhere Jack, and 10s for Tram Girl. 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. You were with Alcock and Brown last time, if I remember rightly, Andy. Are you staying with him here?
I think he's got an excellent chance. I thought he got the job done all right the other day. Beat 2 in-form horses. We've already seen Pat Harkin mentioned in the previous podcast. I'm sure he'll go away on the previous race. And Shelshire Climber had won down in Garran the time before. It was a different ball game with Alcock and Brown. They decided to make the running with him. If those tactics are in operation again tonight, then he could see it out from gate to line. But there's a couple of unexposed types in this. I think, largely speaking, we're dealing with a bunch of horses here who've had plenty of chances, and the handicapper knows exactly where he is with them. But there are a couple that have had just a statutory 3 runs, and they could well just have a little bit of requisite improvement that we're looking for here. Peremptory is one, and the other one is Meadow Cross. Both of them fillies. Both of them trained by different handlers right at the end of the spectrum. We've got Group 1 winning trainer David Watchman, and we've got Dennis Hogan, who probably dines at a much lower level, but he's a very shrewd operator when the money's down. So we've got to keep an eye on these two in the market. Peremptory actually ran here back in the main meeting, and it was a good speed figure race that she contested. That was a run for a mark, and she clearly wasn't knocked about with a view to the future, so I'd certainly give her a chance. That Rocco Rogia is a proper nice horse who won that race, that Adrian McGuinness horse, so I think she's worth a look. And this Meadow Cross as well also ran in a hot race down in Tipperary way back in April, clearly getting ready for a handicap as well. Six behind, obviously, Irish Oaks winner, subsequently Diamond and Rubies. Keeping on quite nicely without being unduly punished, you know, never in the race, really. But just these two just sort of got some kind of semi-appeal here with me. We can get 7-1 for Peremptory, and we can get, amazingly, we can get 12-1 for Meadow Cross. So let's have a couple of stabs at the board with those two.
Couple against Field Friendly there then. The 7:30 is the fifth race on the card. This one is a race over a mile and three quarters. And Silver Concord heads the market at 1-2. 4-1 for Spacious Sky. Little Rocky is sixes. Nines for Gambling Girl. And 20-1 are bigger prices for the others. We'll start, obviously, with the market leader, Andy. He won the Cheltenham Bumper. He's won a maiden on the flat. He's done okay over hurdles as well. Haven't seen him for a while. I suspect that Dermot Weld might be eyeing Galway with him. But is he still going to be good enough to win this?
You would think so, yeah. I always think that Dermot he's never overly hard on them first time out. He should be good enough to still win this. I remember Forgotten Rules when he won first time out this year. He struggled to get the better answered. Silver Concord wasn't wildly impressive when he won here, when he won last year at Navan in a race similar to this. So he might just huff and puff here, despite him being a 1-2 shot. But ultimately, he ought to get the job done. Finney Maguire rides him. I think he's on this because it wouldn't surprise me if there's one of those amateur rider races that Dermot's got his eye on for Silver Concord. I think that's probably the route he'll go in. He's won that amateur rider race for Dr. Lamb on a few occasions. So that would be the race I'd expect this horse to turn up in, as you quite rightly pointed out, in a couple of weeks' time. His form over hurdles this season was pretty good. Didn't probably hit the heady heights that Connections would have liked, considering he was a Cheltenham Festival winner. Of course, he didn't make the festival. His last run was in the Deloitte and Touche, where he finished fourth behind Nichols Canyon. You know, that's still very respectable. In behind him that day at Leopards Down was the likes of Semper and Medici, who finished seventh, and just using him as a guide. I mean, he's rated a 93 horse on the flat, so, you know, if you're going collaterally and giving a mark to Silver Concord, you'd suggest he might well be even a 100 horse. And if that's the case, he should be taking care of this lot. Spacious Sky and Little Rocky, but the two highest rating, courtesy of their flat exploits. But either two wouldn't be as good as Silver Concord. So he should win this and, as I say, put the finishing touches on his preparations to Ballybrit in a few weeks' time.
Over the fence as we go for the final three races. The 8 o'clock is the next of them. This is race six on the card. This is a handicap chase, a Grade C event over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and the market headed by both Umbo Roman and Sizing Solution, who are 5-1 joint favourites. 6-1 for Gentleman Duke. Shanahan's Turn is 7s, 15-2 for Mr 51. Crown Theatre is 8s and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Really looking forward to this, Andy. It's a good old jumps race, isn't it?
Yeah, I quite like this race. Down the years, I think I've had a bit of luck in it. I didn't back the winner last year at Maharaj, but it's a race that I do quite like. And I always look for course and distance form and a horse that's perhaps been targeted at this race. And it's quite clear to me that Jim Draper has laid this size and solution out for this. He's a very, very consistent horse, as you can see by his form figures. Funny enough, his only bad race recently came over hurdles back in May. But you'd forgive him that, really, to be honest. That was his first run for a while, and he was up against horses who've obviously been in good form throughout the summer jumping period. So we'll forgive him that. He then went down to Dan Rawley the day in a bid perhaps to put finishing touches onto the preparation of this race or maybe something at Galway, because he ran in the Galway trial race that ended going in the way of Elegant Statesman. Unfortunately, he made a bad mistake early on, very uncharacteristic, and he got rid of Johnny Burke. Johnny Burke takes the ride here tonight, and he's teamed up quite well with his horse, including win at Dan Rawley early on this season, and of course when they almost completed back-to-back races at the festival last year. He won over hurdles, and then he was second, and a good second as well, to Hurricane Ridge over 2.5 miles. I just don't think this horse quite stays 2.5 miles. I've seen him run a few times, and he's definitely his best trip for me. He's the 2 mile, exactly 2 mile trip, and he just goes so well at the track that he's got to be a consideration here. I think around about 11-2, 5-1 this morning is a decent each way bet. He's got a nice lightweight. And he's up against a lot of horses who can be a little bit in and out, the likes of Shanahan's Turn, Mr 51, Umbo Roman even. He's a difficult horse to catch right. So I'm really confident of a big run here from Size and Solution. He looks absolutely teed up for this, and I think he'll give us a grand run for our money.
Okay, on to the penultimate race of the evening. This is the 8:30. This is a handicap chase over 2 3/4 miles. It's for 5-year-olds and older, rated 0-116. King Leon and Asda Peak are the 4-1 joint favourites. 6-1 for Easter Hunt. Indian Temple is 8. 10-1 for Baby Whiz and Valor's Minion. And 12s or bigger for the others. Who would you side with them there, Andy?
I'm going to have to stick with the informed 10-year-old, Asda Peak. He's managed to win 2 of his last 3 starts. Down roll and it punches down on both occasions, probably a little bit more impressively than the finishing or the winning margin suggests. He took care of a couple of inform horses down in Down Royal, 5 o'clock tea, who subsequently chased home at Dan Skelton Horse at Utoxeter, and of course Russian Regent, who's come over to plunder a couple of races at Perth subsequently for the inform Gordon Elliott. So that form's really solid. He then had to work really hard to win at Punches Down. But he did get the better of Fergie the Legend in the end. And Abarta, who was fourth, has won out of that race next time up. Unfortunately, he got rid of his pilot at a very early stage, Danny Dan Patrick, the other day on his bid for the hat-trick. But the fact that he was sent off 6-4 favourite to win that meant that a lot of Irish punters thought he was a good thing or a handicap good thing to take that event. I still think he's quite well handicapped. James Kane and Rising is absolutely well worth his £7 claim. He's a really good conditional, this James Kane, and I think the combination are pretty irresistible at the moment. He's a 9-2 shot this morning. I think he'll go off favourite, and provided he stays on his feet this time, he'll take all the beating.
And we finish the card with the 9 o'clock, which is a novice chase of 2 3/4 miles. The market headed by Bridget's Pet, who's 100-30, 7-2 for Horrendous Hullabaloo. She's a Portrait, 9-2, 5-1 for Railway Zera, and the Housekeeper, 7s for Caught and Catcher, and Corrigs is 10-1. You've mentioned at the top of this piece that your best bet runs here, Andy. Who is it?
Yeah, I'm absolutely astounded that She's a Portrait is 9-2 here. I'd be really, really keen on her at that price. She's a very, very consistent mare. She tries as hard as you like. She's a bold front runner. She jumps well. And you've only got to look at the company she's been keeping in the last 3 or 4 starts. For me, she's by far and away the best horse in this race. And I'm quite surprised that the guy, Johnny Ward, I think it was, who did the comments in the Racing Post today, suggested that she's got more on her plate here. Well, I actually totally disagree. I think she's got less on her plate here than she has done in recent times. Back in March, second to Vroom Vroom Mag, a horse rated 141, trained by Willie Mullins. She then ran against Tennis Cap and Azorian and split the pair here at Killarney over this course and distance. Tennis Cap's rated 139, Azorian 135. And then she beat the 138 rated Burn and Turn last time out with Railway Zera back in third, and a long way back in third as well. And she was very game that day as well when Jessica Harrington's charge came up to her. There's no horse in this race with anything like the rating of those three or four horses I've just mentioned. So it's quite clear that she's going to go off in front. She likes small fields, and I think she's going to really put it up to them here. For me, she should be favourite, and I think we should take advantage of a little bit of a gift that's been handed to us by the bookmakers this morning. Best bet on the card, She's a Portrait, take the 9-2.
Good stuff. Strong vote in the last, then. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, as usual, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, I think it really warms up as the card goes on here tonight at Killarney. Ambergreen Lass in the first is a token selection against two potentially nice horses. In the 6 o'clock, I'll stick with the inform mare Maudlin Magdalene. 6:30, difficult race. This wouldn't be absolutely bonkers on anything in particular, but what's the plot? Looks as though he's in reasonable enough form to run another sound race for us there. In the second division of that mile 3 handicap, I'd have two against the field in this one, the two lightly raced types. Meadow Cross and the David Watchman trained Peremptory. In the 7:30, it should be a case of if Silver Concord turns up in the form that he normally is, then he should win that race quite comfortably. Then we get on to the good stuff, the chase races. Size and Solution, strong each way vote in the big race of the night. As the peak, hopefully he'll get back on track in that 8:30, and then they've saved the best or last, certainly from a price perspective. I'd have She's a Portrait, a very strong favourite there in the last, and hopefully she'll justify my confidence.
Good work. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy Killarney this evening.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.